In conclusion, then, what I've tried to lay out in this lecture is that indirectness is a fundamental part of human communication. We're just much too sophisticated, too experienced, too efficient in using language to feel that we have to simplistically spell out what we mean in just so many words. You might say we're all code talkers. We use expressions, turns of phrase, conversational routines. All of these that we've learned over a lifetime are the way we get things done with words. To the extent that our words mean far more than their dictionary definitions, we are all relatively indirect. Though women and men both tend to be indirect, we do sometimes tend to use indirectness in different ways and in different contexts. I'll end by returning to the examples that I posed at the start. The young men in Jeff Civilico's example of the young men in his apartment who were watching television yelled no and F you when their roommate told them to stop, but went ahead and stopped anyway. It's not that they didn't want to accommodate their roommate's need, they just didn't want to be seen as being subordinate by doing what they're told. So that was a kind of indirectness, saying no, but actually doing it. The girls used indirectness in a very different way. The girl who wanted the other girl to help her wash the dishes by asking, "Did you help cook, Em?" left open the question whether what she was doing was asking a sincere question. She really didn't know whether Em had helped cook or whether she was asking for help that perhaps she wasn't really entitled to. That answer never had to be provided because Emily volunteered to help her roommate wash the dishes. I hope in this lecture to have given you renewed respect for the conversational strategy of indirectness. Americans in particular are inclined to regard directness as honesty and indirectness as somehow manipulative. In fact, I believe manipulativeness is the word that we always use to describe other people's ways of talking, because they don't seem to be talking in the way appropriate to what they mean to say. There's nothing manipulative or dishonest about indirectness. It's simply an efficient way of using language based on the fact that we are very experienced veterans of communication. In fact, I think it's Americans' preference for directness that often makes the impression on people from other cultures that we're childish or childlike. Children, after all, haven't learned the niceties of communication, and so they just blurt out exactly what's on their mind. In fact, we do all use indirectness in various ways in communication. Although it's accurate that women more often perhaps tend to be indirect when it comes to expressing negative messages or try to get other people to do things, there are other situations, such as apologies, where men might be more likely than women to be indirect. My hope is that we will all develop more respect and acceptance of other people's habits of using indirectness. We'll see these patterns coming up again in the next lecture, which will be focused on language and gender in the family.
After listening to Lecture 8, a student posed this question to Professor Tannen. Why do men resist apologizing? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Part of the reason that many men, and also many women, certainly resist apologizing is that they really feel bad about having messed up. And apologizing makes them feel even worse because it puts on record that they messed up. And they almost feel that if they deny it, maybe the other person won't see how bad they really are. To be really effective, apologies need four parts. You have to seem apologetic, and your remorse should be roughly appropriate to the offense. You have to indicate that you care, that you let the other person down, that they're feeling, you understand the effect it had on them, and you regret that. You have to admit fault, and you have to show some indication that you plan not to do the same thing again in the future. You can't keep apologizing and then go do it again. It's that element of admitting fault that I think can be really hard for some people, especially men, and especially if it's a serious fault. So perhaps many men would feel perfectly fine saying, I'm sorry, I forgot to mail your letter, but might not feel so comfortable saying I'm sorry about something really major that they think really was very bad. So it's the depth of how bad they feel about admitting fault that might explain how reluctant they are to actually apologize, because the apology does claim responsibility and admit fault.
This ends Lecture 8.